This evening, Mark 7, verses 14 to 23, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of this paragraph. I can't emphasize it enough. In fact, I will be so bold as to say the world, unbelievers, have no clue what we're talking about when we deal with this topic tonight. This is truly divine and supernatural and from God thoroughly and completely. And I think it is so important for Christian living, for Christian understanding, and for a theological understanding as well. And tonight we want to talk about the heart of man. The biggest problem is what comes out from within you. Mark 7, beginning in verse 14. Follow with me as I read God's word, and then we'll pray and look at it together. Mark chapter 7. And Jesus called the crowd to him again, and he began to say to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man." And then maybe your Bible has a verse 16 in there. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 17. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean." And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." Father, we pray as we come to your most precious and majestic and true word. Oh, Father, that you would speak through me, your servant, and that you would speak to all of our hearts by the Spirit of God, working by and with and through his word. Father, this is absolutely vital to understand. We have to get this. And yet, Lord, we understand that we can't understand it, nor can we apply it without the illumination and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So we pray, O God, that you would come and that you would reveal your truth to our hearts, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The question could be asked, and it's a good question, and it is a needed question. What is wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world? Who's to blame? Who's to blame for everything that is going on? Or maybe to make that a little bit more personal, why do you do what you do? Why do you say what you say? Why do you think what you think? Why do you purpose and intend and plan the things that you do? Why do you react the way that you do? Why do you live the way that you live? Our world is filled with answers. Our world is filled with worldly solutions to all of the crises and problems of our day. I just finished the other day reading Vodi Balcom's new book, Fault Lines. And it's good. It explains how modern philosophies and modern theories and modern worldviews, in particular critical race theory and intersectionality, are so good at putting the blame on other people for what's wrong in the world. In particular, white, heterosexual males. They are the ones in particular to blame, according to critical race theory and intersectionality. And so our culture easily takes the blame off of self and points the finger at others. Look at them, it's their fault. Why is the world the way it is? Why is our culture the way it is? Why is there so much turmoil? It's their fault. The truth of the Bible says the exact opposite. In fact, if we want to know what God says in the Bible, what is the problem with the world? Here's God's answer. Are you ready? The problem with the world is the human heart. But that's even too generic. The problem with the world is your heart. Your heart. And this is not anything new. We read this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. And it's not only in the book of Genesis. Jesus even preached it in the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke 6, verse 45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. What's the problem with the world? Why is the world the way it is? It's our heart. The problem with the world is the human heart. And we come tonight to Mark chapter 7, where Jesus is going to nail us square between the eyes. And those like he spoke to in that setting 2,000 years ago, he's going to deal with the human heart. Human traditions and all the externals were elevated and the Word of God was set aside. We looked at that last week in Mark 7. What's the real issue? What's the core problem in mankind? It's not externals. It's the corruption in the heart. It's the corruption and the evil and the sin in our heart. And in this one paragraph, I want to show you the theme so clearly. Look with me at verse 15 of our text. Mark 7:15. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man, that's what defiles the man. Look at verse 20. That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. Verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil deeds. And then verse 23, all these evil things proceed from within, and they defile the man. Notice the repetition of the word they come out of. They come out of. They come from within. That's the problem with our world. The problem with the world is not people out there. It's our hearts. The problem with the world is the human heart. And in the context here of Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and the trained religious scribes and these professional scholars, he's going to deal with them and say, your uncleanness is not a matter of eating with unwashed hands. That's not the big issue here. The real issue is the evil things that come from within your heart. That's the real problem. The real problem and the real hope that we have for the world is heart change. The problem is what comes out of the heart, and the hope is heart change. So our text tonight is so basic, it's so helpful, it's so imperative that we understand the basic mechanics of how human beings work and how we function and why we do what we do and what the real problem is. I'll tell you this, it's really painful. But when you get to the place where you feel the pain, that's where the solution comes. There's always a solution, namely the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the human heart. Now, in your outline in front of you, I have a number of headings as we kind of walk through our text. And I want to kind of go slowly and carefully through this. And I just want to help you understand the heart. What is the problem with the world? And what is the importance of what we're going to talk about tonight? And that is the human heart. Let's begin with, in your outline, number one, I want to show you the preciousness of your heart. The preciousness of your heart. You know, people often have a a safe, perhaps, in their home. A safe to guard a precious or a prized possession. Maybe somebody keeps precious jewelry in a safe and protected place. Parents certainly protect and guard our precious children. In the same way, the human heart is very, very precious. I want to begin by setting the table with Proverbs 4, verse 23. I have this highlighted. I have it bracketed in my Bible. This is one of those verses where it's like we need to know what Proverbs 4:23 says in our Bibles. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart. Guard your heart vigilantly, diligently, day and night, like a watchman 24/7 who's keeping watch over the hillside for invading armies in danger. We must watch our heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of the heart come all the issues of life. Everything that I say, do, think, purpose, intend, my reactions will all flow out of my heart. I recall just a simple story of a tree that fell down in a storm. For many years, this tree had grown and grown bigger and deeper and stronger and wider, but it finally toppled over with a recent storm. And nothing but the splintered stump was left. And when the arborists came and they looked at the tree and they began to do a little study on it, it showed that the tree was rotten at the core because of thousands and thousands and thousands of tiny little insects that had gotten in there and they had eaten away at the heart or the core of that tree. The weakness of the tree wasn't brought down by a big storm. The weakness of the tree began the very moment that first insect went inside and nested in the tree, and more and more and more and more came. So it is with the preciousness of your heart. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all vigilance." That's why Solomon says in Proverbs 23:26, "Give me your heart, my son." That's why God said in Deuteronomy 4:9, "Don't let my words depart from your heart." Church family, just as we begin this first heading, you must understand the preciousness of your heart. Your heart is precious. Your heart is prized, and it is costly. But number two, not only the preciousness of your heart, number two, the priority of your heart. Now, in our text in Mark chapter 7, I want you to see tonight that your heart is of ultimate importance. And I just want to show you what Jesus says in verse 14. Jesus called the crowd, and he's in Galilee, and he's got Jewish people all around him, and they're all upset at Jesus because his disciples aren't keeping the tradition of the rabbis. Verse 14, Jesus said, "Listen to me, all of you, and you need to understand." Verse 16 is another verse in our translations. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." You need to listen and understand. Hear what God says. You know what that tells us? The world doesn't get this. The world doesn't understand this. They can't. They don't have a category for the biblical understanding of the human heart. But right here in our text tonight, we're going to find the Spirit of God revealing the truth about the human heart. And in verse 17, so interesting, Jesus will leave the crowd and he'll enter a house and the disciples will question him about the parable. And Jesus will say, "Are you lacking in understanding? Do you not understand?" In other words, guys, you need to get this. You need to understand this. It's not the externals that defiles you. Food goes in and it goes out. Jesus declared all foods clean. Mark gives the commentary on that. What defiles you is what comes out of your own heart. The world won't say that. but God does. Look in your outline with me. Dr. John Street has a book that came out just about a year ago called Passions of the Heart. It is a tremendous book on biblical counseling and how to probe the human heart and how to use not only that book in counseling your own heart, but other people that battle with sins. I just put two paragraphs in here in your outline. He says, you cannot trust your own heart to know itself. People say, follow your heart. That's satanic counsel. You can't trust your own heart to know itself. The only reliable guide for self-knowledge is the Word of God. Your sinful heart is not only difficult to understand, but it's deceptive and it will lie to you. It is full of rationalizations for sin, as it is prone to cast itself and its motives in the most favorable light. Again, he continued, God is the only righteous judge of your heart. Any dominating desire of the heart that replaces the desire to love and serve God, foremost, that is an idol. It may not be an idol of wood or stone, but that idol of the heart is just as destructive. A heart idol will demand worship. Your heart, and by the way, the heart worship often comes in the phrase, I need this. I crave this. Our culture today is big on the word addiction. I'm addicted to this. It's a heart idol that demands worship. Your heart is full of controlling voices that will compete for your complete allegiances. And Jesus is going to nail the bullseye right here with these statements. Are you lacking in understanding? Let me give you spiritual light. Let me give you truth. Let me give you what you need to know. For the Christian, the human heart is always the target. The human heart is always the bullseye. For example, the drunkard. When talking with a drunkard, it's not just stop drinking. It's the heart. What are you craving and why do you keep going back there? For the anxious person, it's the heart. What do you really fear? What are you really afraid of? For the woman who's dressed scandalously, what are you really craving? What is she really wanting? For the teenager who's lying to his parents, what do you feel like you need? What do you feel like you must have in order to be happy? And why do we keep going to the heart? Why do we keep bringing it out? Because Jesus will tell us that all of these things will come out of a foul, corrupt, sinful heart. That is desires and cravings and motives and passions. It's really the core and the root and the priority that we must understand. Not just the preciousness of the human heart, but the priority. Jesus said, listen. Listen up. Let him who has an ear, let him hear this. Verse 17, you need to understand this. Verse 18, you need to understand this. But now we come to your outline to number three, the pilot. The pilot. I like to think of the human heart as a pilot of an airplane. Or maybe in a different way, you could use the figure of speech, a mission control center. Your heart is the pilot, or it's the mission control center of your life. It drives, it directs, and it turns you wherever you go. Or maybe you think of your heart as headquarters. Your heart is the core. It's the cockpit of the plane. It's the focal point. It's the hard drive. Your heart is the dwelling place of your thought life. Why do you think the way you think? Well, that's your heart. Why do you purpose the things you purpose? Why do you have intentions and ambitions and feelings and thoughts and all these? They all come out of our heart. The Bible says our heart purposes. Our heart strategizes. The Bible says our heart plans. Our heart thinks. Our heart plots. Our heart deliberates. Our heart is the pilot of our life. Just like a pilot in a cockpit would determine the course of the plane, or a captain in a ship would determine the course of the ship, so your heart will determine the course of your behavior. This is absolutely radical in the eyes of the world. Why? Who is to blame? Me. Not you, not others. Me. Me. Your heart determines your behavior. And that's what Jesus says over and over and over. Verse 20, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. So Jesus says in verse 20 that your heart is the very source of your feelings, of your aspirations, of your thoughts, and all of your actions. It all comes from your heart. So when a child responds the way they respond and the parent stoops down and says, why did you respond the way you responded? What did you really want? We're probing the heart. We're finding the desires. Why did you respond that way? What were you thinking in that very moment when you said what you said? Why did you purpose that or plan that or your purposes? All of those come from the heart. Again, verse 20, Jesus says it so clearly. Verse 20, Jesus says that which comes out of the man is what defiles the man. Imagine, for example, a man who is doing a little probing outside when his air conditioner goes out in the hot summer weather. And he's out there and he's messing around by the air conditioner, and in so doing, he happens to stir up a wasp's nest. And all those angry, fierce black wasps, they rise up from the nest like dark little helicopters, and they just swarm over their target. That's what it is for the ugly swarm of evil that comes out of the dirty parts of our heart. That's the picture of our heart and everything coming out of the nest of our heart. You see, without understanding the human heart, without understanding what Jesus says about human beings and why we do what we do, it would be like a man who's trying to fix his car that won't run by simply washing the windshields on the outside. Or he's shining the tires, or he's waxing the paint. Maybe he'll clean the leather seats. But if he doesn't open the hood, and if he doesn't get dirty and get under that hood and get to the real issue, that car is not going to run adequately and properly. And so it is when people try to bring about change in their lives without getting under the hood to the human heart. It is absolutely vital. Your heart is the pilot in your life that directs where you go, what you say, how you act, how you respond. You say, Jeff, I think I understand that. But then Jesus gets really specific. And what the world is utterly confused about, and the pharmaceutical world is making quite a fortune at what they do, Jesus tells you, here's the real issue. Here's the root of the issue. And true change can come about because you know the real root of the problem, and God, in His grace, by the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, can bring true, lasting, and God-glorifying change. That leads us to number four in your outline, the power. The power of your heart. The world doesn't want to hear this when you point the finger at them, not in a mean way, but you point the finger and you say, you know what the problem is? Your heart. The problem is your heart. You know, now we hear it all around us. Blame white people. Blame our ancestors. Blame mental illness. Blame our medication. Blame our environment. Blame anyone, anything, everyone, everything. Except self, of course. No. God says, no. The problem is our heart. In what follows, in verse 21, Jesus, in most clear language, look at it in verse 21, Jesus will say, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, and then he's going to list 13 14 sins that come out of human beings, out of the heart of men. Let's go through them very quickly. Evil thoughts, number one. From within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts. It's an interesting Greek word. It's actually the Greek word for dialogues. Reasonings, ideas, perceptions, planning, intentions, all of these evil reasonings and ideas, they come from the heart. Number two, fornication. It's the Greek word porneia. We get our word pornography from this. It's all illicit sexual activity outside of the marriage between one man and one woman alone. Any and all sexual activity outside of the marriage covenant between a man and a woman is fornication. Where does that come from? The heart. The heart. Third, theft. Evil thought, fornication, theft, stealing. That means taking what belongs to another person. Fourth, murder. Taking the life of another. Murder. Murder. Why did you murder? Well, the answer that people give is, well, look at what they did. No. Jesus says you murdered because of your heart. Your heart. Number five, adulteries. Adultery, sexual immorality with another person's spouse. Number six, deeds of coveting. Deeds of coveting. Insatiable desire. I want to have what belongs to another person. I want it. The key word is one. I want it. I need it. I desire that. I crave that. I will be happy when I get that. I will be content when I get that. Oh, how I need that. Those are some of the key words. It comes out of the heart. The next word is wickedness. The Greek word just means depravity. Depraved words and actions. And after wickedness is the word deceit. Deceit, false testimony. It's actually a fishing word that implies the idea of catching someone. You're trapping someone. You are tricking someone by your deceit. Where does lying and tricking and deceit come from? The heart. The heart. What's the problem? It's not other people. The problem is my heart. Sensuality is the next word that Jesus gives. Sensuality is a Greek word that talks about lewdness or lack of self-control. It's a person who's just kind of free to play around with his perverse impulses. That's the idea of this term describing sensuality. The next term that Jesus brings out is the term envy, a displeasure in somebody else's blessings. It is envy that caused the murder of Abel. It is envy that threw Joseph into the pit. It is envy that caused Korah to rebel. It is envy that made Saul pursue David. It is envy that gave rise to the bitter words of the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. It is envy that crucified Christ. True love does not envy. Where does envy come from? The heart. Slander. Slander is the next word. Defaming a person's character, railing against them, scorning them, prideful language, either to the person or about the person behind their back. That is slander. Where does that come from? The heart. Pride. Pride. Next. Pride. Exalting self over others. Thinking that I'm better. Thinking that I'm better than someone else. And then that final word for foolish in our Bibles in verse 22 for foolish is moral, not intellectual, but moral senselessness. It's a person who doesn't know God and has no desire to serve God. He's described in Proverbs as an unthinking fool, a moral fool, not intellectual ability, moral foolishness. G.K. Chesterton was once asked on one occasion, he said, "What's wrong with the world?" And he said, "I am. I am." And he said, "If you think that human beings are basically good, meditate on these verses right here in Mark 7. Now, if you look at these verses, I mean, this is convicting because you and I do these. I mean, you and I are guilty of these, and along with everybody else in the world. And we're convicted and we feel guilty. And yet the question is, well, is there any hope? Is there any hope with these sins that come out of the heart of men? Verse 23, Jesus even says all these things come from within and they defile the man. Is there any hope? And the answer, of course, and joyfully, number 5 in your outline is yes. There is purification. When you point the finger at others, like our world is so good at doing nowadays with all of these ideologies and worldviews that are being indoctrinated into all of us on a daily basis from all the media platforms, there's no hope there. There's no hope. But when you come to the Word of God and you see that, you know what, it's my heart that is the problem. And it's the heart of human beings that is the problem. And then when we realize that, now there's hope. Because we can pray like David in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. How does change come? It's the question of all questions, isn't it? How do I change? You know, a counselee comes to a counselor. A friend comes to another friend at church. How do I change? How do I get rid of this? How do I put off the sinful habits? And how do I change? Number one, it all must begin with divine regeneration. Only God can truly change the heart initially. Ezekiel 36 says, God says, I will take out the heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh. Praise God that God does that supernatural work. And maybe even to pause here tonight, if God has not done that work in you yet, if you have not been regenerated, if you don't have a new heart, tonight is the night for you to cry out for His mercy. Certainly He will save you. Certainly He'll be able and willing to change you. But not only divine regeneration, second, true change comes with divine illumination as well. Divine illumination, because Jesus said, listen to me, back in verse 14. You need to listen. This comes from God. You can't listen to culture. You can't listen to the media. You can't listen to Hollywood and the movies. We can't listen to our own hearts. We must listen to God in His Word. And it must persevere with divine sanctification. We must grow in Christ. God can do this work, and He does do this work in our hearts. But in your outline, I gave you just a number of points here at the bottom, just very practically. So, okay, how does change happen? You know, tonight here, child of God, Christian, church member, okay, I want my heart to be purified. You know, Jesus talks about these 13 vices and they come out of the heart. My goodness, Lord, forgive me. Number one, in your outline, I need a pure perception. Remember Hebrews 4:12, God knows the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Chronicles, David said, God tests the heart and delights in uprightness. The apostles said, God knows the heart in Acts 15. I need the right perception. God, I want to think rightly about this. I don't want to just focus on externals. God, I want to focus on the heart. I want the right perception, the right understanding of the heart. Second, in your outline, I need a pure passion, a pure passion. I think of Solomon in 1 Kings 11. He loved many women. And the women turned his heart away to follow other gods. I think of Psalm 19, verse 8. God's word rejoices the heart. I think of Proverbs 22, verse 5. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What does that mean? God, I need to have the right passions for you. Give me the right passion, the right perspective, the right pursuit for you. This is so key, even in biblical parenting, biblical grandparenting. What is it that guards us from behaviorism? It's going after the heart. It's not forcing, it's probing the heart. I need these passions, O Lord. Guard my heart, guard my passions. Third, in your outline, I need a pure petition. I need a pure petition. I think of Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. When I was in seminary, my Hebrew professor, every class, he would end his opening prayer by quoting this verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, give us that right, that proper, that pure petition, that right prayer. And so much more could be said about the heart and why we do what we do and what Jesus says over and over in this paragraph. It's not the things on the outside that defile, but it's what comes out from the heart. That's what defiles us. I put in your outline a little box toward the bottom of the page. I wish I could give a 10-part series through each one of these, but I'll just read them real quick. When you understand that your heart is the real issue, this is so important, so practical, and I would plead with you even just to pray through these points and even consider them on your own. When you understand the heart, number one, it will guard you from behaviorism. You know, just kind of focusing on the behavior. You know, if I kind of read my Bible and go to church and do this and say the right thing and do the right thing and check the thing, I'm good, I'm fine. And as a parent, and as a grandparent, understanding the heart guards from behaviorism. Number two, understanding the heart protects you from self-righteousness. I mean, it's easy to look on the outside like the Pharisees and say, I'm pretty good. I'm better than that guy. That's self-righteousness. Third, understanding that your heart is the real issue condemns man as guilty. Or maybe a better word would be it condemns self. Self as guilty. Fourth, when you understand that your heart is a real issue, fourth, it motivates heartfelt repentance. Oh, I love that. Where does change come? It begins with heartfelt repentance, coming to God. Isn't that so great? Change really is possible when you come to the Lord and you confess your sin. Fifth, when you understand that your heart is a real issue, it disallows blame shifting. That's so old. Isn't it? The book of Genesis, chapter 3. Well, the woman you gave me did that. And then the woman said, no, the serpent. No, it's his fault. No, it's her fault. No, it's their fault. No, it's culture, my background, environment, so on. No, it disallows blame shifting. When you understand your heart is a real issue, number six, it offers hope in Christ. Praise God, he changes hearts. Number seven, it pinpoints dangerous roots, not only fruits. It's one thing to put away bad images on a computer. It's one thing to put away an alcoholic bottle. It's one thing to put away drugs. It's another thing to go deeper to the root of why do I want that? Why do I crave that? Why do I feel like I need that? Why do I keep going back to that? We want the root and not just the fruit to be changed. When we understand the heart is the real issue, number eight, it allows for real biblical change to occur from the root. Number nine, when you understand your heart is the real issue, it drives you to Scripture for help and hope and change. Praise God. You can go to the Word of God, which probes the heart. Number 10, when you understand your heart is the real issue, it equips you to counsel others. You really have all that you need to come alongside of other people. Even for a non-believer who has a twisted life with all of these relational and past and emotional things, and you think, I don't even know where to start with this person. And they've got so many things and issues and problems. Well, sure you do. When you kind of put all that away, the real problem for an unbeliever is you need a new heart. And only God can do that. And then when you're dealing with a believer, there can be some tangles and a lot of things going on, but the real root is the heart, and you can go to the Word with another believer and bring about change. When you came in tonight, you grabbed this piece of paper. The top image there defines and describes the heart biblically. It's really the sermon in a visual form. You have all the scriptures there at the top, and out of your heart either come bad fruit or good fruit. But then on the bottom of the page, you see there are the idols of the heart, and depression, anger, worry, fear, materialism, control, fear of man, appearance, health, pleasure. And there's a lot of idols that we can have, a lot of idols. And how do you identify them? In the bottom left, that little black box down there. How do you identify the heart idols in your life? Some very good probing little questions and statements to help you think through that. What a key passage for us. I mean, Mark 7 right here is so key. Because what is Jesus doing? He's going right for the heart. He's going right for the thinking. He's going right for the plans and the purposes. It's not about eating with unwashed hands. That's not the issue. The issue is your heart. That's what defiles you. But praise God, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can change the human heart. I'll end with this. I read this years ago and I've never forgotten it. Hudson Taylor was on the mission field and wanted to teach a spiritual lesson. And so he filled a glass of water and he put it on the table right in front of him. And while he was speaking to a crowd in front of him at one point, he was getting really passionate and he pounded the table right in front of him so hard that much water splashed out of the water cup. And he said, "You are going to have a lot of trouble in your life." He said, "But when that trouble comes, remember only what's inside of you is going to spill out when that pressure comes." What a great lesson for us to guard our hearts, to watch over our hearts with all vigilance. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way." Psalm 139. May that be our prayer as well. Father, thank you for your word, the power of it. Cleanse our hearts, purify our hearts, teach our hearts. Help us to guard our hearts. For the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.